semi-finals of the Europa League. There's wild celebrations in Bergamo. If we're being brutally honest, the damage was done in that first leg at Anfield. We weren't good enough in the first leg, as Jurgen Klopp hugs Gianpiero Gasperini. Over the two legs, Atalanta, you have to say, defended really well. We really struggled to break them down, that second half especially. Tonight, first half, we got the early goal. We played well in that first half with Trent Alexander-Arnold dictating things, some great through passes. Mo Salah got a penalty, an early penalty after 6 minutes to give Liverpool the lead. We said if we can keep a clean sheet, we will have a chance. Salah missed a glorious chance, 1v1. First half. In the second half, if we're being brutally honest, we didn't really create meaningful chances. We just kept passing it backwards. It's disappointing in the end, but it finished Atalanta 0, Liverpool 1. They go through 3-1 on aggregate.
That was our commentator Steve Hunter's summary of the 1-0 victory in Bergamo, which wasn't enough to prevent Jurgen Klopp's men from being knocked out of the Europa League at the quarter-final stage. I'm Rob Jones and you're listening to The Reaction. Over the course of this podcast, we'll bring you the thoughts of the boss and vice-captain Trent Alexander-Arnold, as well as analysis from former Reds midfielders Ray Houghton and Jay Spearing, who joined me in the studio. First, though, to former Liverpool striker John Aldridge, who was in Italy with Peter McDowell.
Yeah, it was the 91st occasion for Jurgen Klopp to manage Liverpool in Europe, and that will be that in terms of his European adventures now as Liverpool manager. The Atalanta fans not in a rush to go anywhere, as you can imagine. John Aldridge was a very frustrated spectator up there watching it with me. Yeah. Gave themselves too big a mountain to climb, I think, from the first leg.
Yeah, it certainly was. Give us belief getting that early goal. Got a great time. You know, and then it didn't quieten them up, to be quite honest. They were like that through the game. But they got to grips with this. I think the big turning point was Mo Salah going through for me. Again, it's one of those chances that we haven't took. It's a great chance. He's got to take it or give it to Diaz, and we score 2-0. You know, it's a little bit different then. Second half, we sort of run out of ideas, run out of steam. They were no great team. You know, they couldn't cut us up at all. But defensively and discipline-wise, they did a great job on us, you have to say, you know, to keep us quiet and really not really create the chance that we expect. We did create 2, 3, maybe 4 at maximum, but they weren't great chances except for Moles.
Yeah. You talk about that as a big moment in the game. How big a moment was the decision not to send off Heaton for the handball?
Well, it's cynical, isn't it? He's through on goal. It's, you know, it's one of those. I'm surprised they didn't look at it, VAR, and if they did, they didn't make it a stronger case because it was intentional. He's still on goal. I don't know. It's borderline, maybe. I don't know, because he hasn't took him down or whatever. I don't know, but he was quite clever to do it and got away with it.
They would have been quite calm at half-time. Bit of sloppiness in the passing that probably needed tidying up, but you know they'd have been fairly confident at half-time that maybe the second half they could have gone on and won the game, but the second half really never got going for Liverpool.
We didn't really create much. Gapco, the one really good chance where we got in, they were very robotic in many, many ways. And man-to-man, I expected us maybe to one or two players to create something and get past the player. First off, Trent was the one for me that could have changed the game. He did some really good things to get away from his marker and take it to, you know, to another level down by their goal. But we sort of just run out of steam and run out of ideas at the end of the day.
How difficult is it to play against the man-marking system in midfield? Because our technical players really couldn't find their way past that, could they, and find those quality balls?
And even when we did get past them, their organisation of their team and the discipline was unbelievable. I actually thought maybe the goalkeeper could have come out even more so, just to make it, you know, 11v10, as their goalkeepers did. But you know, he did come out to a certain degree, but there's no other way to do it other than take your man on and beat him. Yeah. But they were so fit, so strong, so physical. And you've got to look over the two legs. They deserved it. I can't believe how they scored 3 goals against us, yeah, watching tonight at Anfield. But they did. And we've got ourselves to blame for that. Bad defending, bad discipline, bad performance at home. But you come here and win 1-0, it's a good result. But to come here and win 4-0, it was a step too far.
We know that there's got to be six to go now, six games to go,
yeah.
Six massive games. They have to get over this quick.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Fulham on Sunday, no easy game. Well, three away games, so you don't look to anyone other than the next game. And yet, we're out. There's nothing you can do about it. And you just got to get a lifeline and beat Fulham, then look at Everton, and then look at the West Ham game and take one as it comes. And hopefully you get 9 points. You know, which would be tough again, but things might feel a little bit different.
You were desperate to get to Dublin for obvious reasons. Everybody watching and listening to this were desperate to get to that competition final as well.
Yeah, you know, Dublin made a lot of arrangements, and you couldn't preempt things because, you know, it was probably too good to be true. It would have been fantastic, the nearest big city to Liverpool. But look, it's gone now, it's in the distance. And we've got to look forward to Fulham and try and get 3 points on Sunday.
Quite unusual at the end, Jurgen Klopp and his players actually clapped the home end on their way off. There was great respect between the two sets, weren't there?
Hey, it's, look, the ground's very small compared to English grounds, but I tell you what, the noise they made tonight and the support they gave their team was absolutely phenomenal. It really was. I'm struggling with my ears anyway, I can't hear now, it's buzzing. And look, they deserved it. You know, we didn't deserve it because of what happened last Thursday over the two legs.
Well, still six massive games to go, four massive weeks for Liverpool, but they have to get over this quickly, and Fulham is almost upon us. Big thanks to John Aldridge for joining us. Back to you boys in the studio.
Thanks to Pete and Aldo out in Italy. Ray Houghton and Jay Spearing are with me in the studio. Ray, it started so well with Mo Salah's penalty, but sort of fizzled out from there.
Second half did. I thought they played quite well in the first half, Liverpool. I thought the movement was good, the rotation of the players. I thought that Atalanta was struggling to get alongside the Liverpool players. We were getting in behind them. In the second half, we stopped doing what we were good at. I don't know if we ran out of legs, we got a bit tired, but we played a lot of balls backwards and square. I thought we got a bit negative instead of getting in behind them. But there was a golden opportunity at 1-0 for Mo Salah when he went through. And he just had to lob it over the goalkeeper, Musso. And if he got it on target, it would have been 2-0. And then it certainly would have been game on. That was a defining moment for me. When that went wide, you could just see the Liverpool players, you know, they weren't quite as composed as they were before that.
It felt different to, we were talking about the Palace game before the match and the number of chances created. And I guess that was the biggest concern in the second half, is that Liverpool didn't really create a great deal. You didn't sense that a second before even a third goal was coming.
Yeah, I totally agree with Ray. I think that the biggest moment of the first half is obviously Mo Salah going through to make it 2-0 before half-time. And I think that the second half then is a completely different game. You know, Atalanta have got something to really hold on to, and Liverpool are actually going for maybe just one more goal with the subs then to come on as well. But second half, yeah, I completely agree. I just think we just seem to not have that clinical edge, that the passing forward just didn't go forward. You could see McAllister, Jones getting frustrated when they were gaining the ball from Virgil van Dijk or even Alisson. They were looking around the corners to try and link with people, but no one seemed to be there. But, you know, we went backwards, sideways, and in the end we ended up going long, but it was too straight. Every long ball that we seemed to play managed to go through to the keeper, and Atalanta were quite comfortable for Liverpool to do that, and, you know, we just didn't test it. Didn't test them enough for me at all.
You've got to give them a bit of credit, though.
That was going to be my next question, actually. It's easy
for us to say that Liverpool couldn't get on the ball, but they were really disciplined. They worked out Liverpool's shape and the rotation, and they held their positions a lot better, and the work ethic of their players was excellent. You know, Edison, who came off late on in that second half, he was all over the pitch. I mean, he was man-marking at 1 minute and then chasing back, helping out defensively. So they had something to hang on to. Jay just said that. Because they had that two-goal lead still, they had something to hang on, believe in, and kept them going. If it was 3-2, they would have been a bit more panic. You'd have heard the noise around the stadium as well. The home support, we would have started to get nervous. That would have transferred to the players, who would have got edgy and maybe made more mistakes. But as it was, the fact that Liverpool still needed two goals, they were like, go on in, try and break us down. And Liverpool just didn't have it within them at that stage, even with the changes that they made to open up that back line of Atalanta.
And you have to say, in terms of giving them credit, over the course of two legs, they deserve a lot of credit. I'm thinking off the top of my head of teams that have won by three goals or more at Anfield under Jurgen Klopp. It would be Real Madrid in the Champions League. I think City won 4-1 in the pandemic season with no one there. Someone might correct me, but I think they would be the only three times that they've lost by three or more goals at Anfield under Jurgen Klopp. That I think Steve said it at the end of the commentary. The damage was done last week, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. You know, Liverpool give themselves a mountain to climb after such a poor performance at home. You know, we went into that game, especially myself, looking, thinking, yeah, we could get a real good result tonight. You know, strong side, I was going to win the game, have a good result going away to Atalanta next week. But it just didn't turn out like that. You know, they came with a game plan, they stuck to it. We just wasn't the races. We lost too many individual battles, and you know that affected into tonight. I believe that last week we lost too many individual battles, but then also tonight, I felt that we just didn't seem to, you know, the first half for me, we were really good. You know, we passed the ball well, we were battling, we were rotating, we were causing problems, but second half, we just seemed to die, and the one-to-one battles, just, we didn't win enough of them to go on and deserve to win the game. So Atalanta deserve a lot of credit.
It was an interesting one, isn't it? That we spoke before the match about sort of how you would paint your way through the sort of perfect comeback, and an early goal would be one, and then we also said you don't have to win it in the first 45 minutes. If it's 1-0 at half-time, fine. But it's quite weird that a team have had so much success this season that the belief did seem to sort of drain out of them quite quickly.
I was saying the second half, because they weren't getting in behind in the manner that they were in the first half. They were posing problems. You know, I said about the rotation. Szoboszlai was the one for me. He made some really great runs in behind the back line. He was a constant threat, but they stopped doing it. And it's amazing in football, what brings you success in one half, you stop doing in the second for some unknown reason. It's not because maybe the opposition have worked you out. There is times when you're not making the run or you're not making the pass. And I think Liverpool players became too negative for me. There was too many balls going back to Alisson. Alisson probably had more touches in that second half than most of the outfield players, if you looked at it logically, because they kept going back. Not on, I'll turn out, I'll go backwards. So it was keeping the ball for the sake of keeping it without really thinking, we've got to get two goals. How do we get the ball forward? How do we create chances? How do we get the ball wide? How do we get balls into the box and get players into the 18-yard box to score goals? Because there was an occasion where Liverpool had it down the left and I'm thinking, right, go on, deliver it. And this is deliver it. I'm looking in the middle. The only player that was there was Mo Salah right on the right-hand side. No one was in the middle at all. So then you have to question, where are you? What are you thinking at that stage? How are you going to score a goal if you're a centre-forward or a central midfielder? Your job's to get in the box, to make an extra man in there. You have to be in the area where you can affect the game. And we weren't doing that often enough in that second half. That was one of the things that disappointed me, is we didn't use our intelligence, football intelligence, to say, how do we get back in the game? Passing it around, we're not getting anywhere doing this now. We have to change. And the next change for me should have been a little bit more direct. Get up to the front and hold it up, bring the others into the game, get crosses into the box, and then people running in to try and get on the end of the crosses that was coming in. We just didn't do it.
It was really interesting, actually, talking about being direct. There's a piece on UEFA's website, which David James, former Liverpool goalkeeper, friend of the show, had sort of fed into, that the success that Atalanta had in the first leg was actually making Liverpool go more direct with the man-to-man marking in the high press. And therefore, you wonder whether that almost over-cautiousness of playing around was because they realised they'd been too direct in the first leg, do you think?
Yeah, you could see that. You could see that Liverpool were trying to play a different type of game. You know, we got drawn into it in the first half. You're absolutely correct in that way. You know, we went long and it just seemed to come back straight away. But there are moments in games where you think, you know, we've had a period of trying to play around the back. You know, we tried to break them down through play and through rotating, and it doesn't seem to be working. But then when we did go long, we were that wide open and that, like, open up, that when Alisson went long and we tried to win the second ball, there was no one there to pick up the seconds. So you can never gain momentum to go and pick up a second to keep an attacker alive, because you're so spread out that you're thinking that you're going to play too stretched, too wide, huge gaps in the middle of the pitch. And then, you know, we played into Atalanta's hands, where you go long, no one to pick up the seconds, they regain, they attack.
So when McAllister's going back, and he was like a third centre-back on occasions, he's going back there and then you're looking at where your centre-forward is. He's about 60 yards down the pitch. So in that room, you probably had one player, two players. So you can't play into them because they're outnumbered. So then you're going to have to look long. When you're hitting it long, they can't get up quickly enough to condense the pitch. So then you're playing catch-up. I mean, you're not getting the balance of the play right. There is, as I said, there's times when you've got to say, right, we've got to be more direct. So we'll go back to the goalkeeper, centre-halves, everyone push up to the halfway line. We'll kick it and then we'll try and win the second ball. Then we'll go wide. There's more than one way to play a game. And if something's not working, you've got to change your game plan a little. And I don't think we did that often enough. And the other thing that can happen in matches as well, Rob, is when you make changes and you bring on substitutes, sometimes they don't go up with the speed of the game. And they're looking around and, you know, they don't know whether it comes short or long, and they're looking around each other for someone to take command of the situation. And that's where you've got to be, if you say, right, we're going to be direct, and then everyone, that's the job, we're going to play in there, then you're going to go after the next ball that's going to be played in, and then you can work it out from there a little bit better.
I want to come back to the subs in just a moment, but on that point about being direct, it's interesting as well, because people, I think, associate, when you talk about being direct, you're thinking about, I don't know, someone like Andy Carroll up front and you're just pumping it towards him. But Liverpool actually had a lot of success early Klopp of, they would be direct playing the channel, so they would just not pump it, but play forward, when, yeah, particularly when Mane and Salah were at their peak. They would just knock it into the channels and then you could spring from there.
Yeah, it's a point that, you know, there's a difference between a long ball and, like, you know, a ball played down the channels and played into people's chests or played into people's feet. You know, I'm not saying let's go route one and just whack it up and hopefully someone wins a header and picks it up. And what I'm trying to say is that, you know, there are different types of passes from going long. You know, they don't always have to be, like, straight diagonal. I think that Alisson played a couple where he tried to play too straight. You know, there are balls where people can draw the defenders in, play balls down the channels. You know, Nunes can't run onto balls that are skidding off on a wet surface that are going to go through to the keeper. He wants them ones in the channels that he's chasing the defender, making the defender think, right, what am I going to do? He's on my tail. Am I going to play to the keeper? Am I going to kick it out? No, I might make a mistake. You know, he might fall over it, whatever.
And do you have to, when you're playing, if you're creating an angle and playing more direct balls or long passes, do you want to be trying, for example, with two forwards a lot closer to each other? So almost, you've got your wide forward, and then if it was Nunes down the middle, he would only be a few yards away from, say, Diaz or Jota. And the opposite of what Ray was saying about having these big gaps between everyone.
Yeah, you'd want the team to connect. You know, you'd have run someone, maybe if you've got three on the top line, Nunes, Diaz and Salah. If Salah makes a run across the pitch and their left-back wants to follow them all the way in, then there's that ball channel, the space that Salah's just left. Then there's the movement from Nunes to run in down, you know, and you bend it down that line for Nunes to run into. You know, it's not just a hoof up the pitch. You know, there are connections built between the two. If one goes straight into Nunes, yeah, the wingers can come in around him, support him from the front, link the play. You know, there's so many different ways to do then long balls. It's not just, right, let's just knock it and kick.
We've done that in the first half.
Yeah, exactly.
When we rotated players around, they didn't know who to go and mark. You know, they were struggling. They were looking around. One was going in tight. Like Kolasinac was going in with Salah, and then Salah would move over there. And he's thinking, I'm not going to go over that other side of the pitch. I want to stay here. Then someone was moving in that space. So it worked well in the first half, but then we stopped doing it in the second half. Maybe they got a little bit better defensively.
I was going to say, do you think is there anything in that Atalanta started doing what they were trying to do better in the second half.
Yeah, there could be a case for that, but maybe Liverpool stopped doing or stopped making the runs, or when you're getting on the ball, you're not looking for that pass like you were in the first half, and then you question why. Why weren't you? Why, if it brought you so much, or brought you joy, and you were getting in behind them, why aren't you doing it again? Because I'm always under the premise that if something's working, keep doing it. You know, where their weakness is, you keep playing on their weakness. You don't let them become a strength. As it happened, that's what happened to them in the second half. They got stronger and they looked fitter. I actually thought Liverpool looked a little bit jaded, a little bit tired. The more the game went on, because the pitch was very stretched, you know, the players weren't getting round the pitch, they were just struggling a little bit. But you go back to the long ball, whatever you want to call it, I call it a long pass. We've got one of the best exponents of that in world football, in Trent Alexander-Arnold. So he's not just lumping it over the top. He's playing balls into areas which is going to get you in behind the opposition. He played 2 or 3 in the first half. It was absolutely world-class. You know, where he played them, the area he played them into, and the players the run that they made was brilliant. And that's what makes Liverpool different to a lot of other teams, because they can go from defence to attack very quickly, but it's with really good passages of play or a really good ball that gets you in an advanced position. So just in that second half, I thought we just went and got a little bit too hesitant in our passing. It was backwards and square, whereas in the first half, we were playing it forward a lot quicker, and that was posing more problems.
When you look at the way that Atalanta frustrated Liverpool then, and this man-to-man marking, from a coach's perspective, how A, brave is that, and B, how impressive was the execution of that?
The game plan over two legs has been, for me, it's been high level. I read a few notes before that Mourinho classed the Atalanta manager is one of his toughest opponents that he's come up against. You know, he's played him a couple of times in Serie A, and he said every time he caused him different problems, challenges that he's never come up against before. And you can see clearly why, over the two legs that Liverpool have played against him, that, you know, he's caused us numerous problems. We've tried to fix things, Jürgen's tried to fix things, and then he's come up with a new idea and he's nullified it. Like the second half with the man-to-man in the first half, everyone was following everywhere, but second half I kind of noticed that they were passing on players. They wasn't leaving the pockets. They were letting them run across Liverpool, and the Atalanta players were letting them just rotate, and they were just standing still and covering space. So Liverpool ran out of ideas. And you can see why the second half it got frustrating, and, you know, he's done incredibly well over them two legs, and he deserves a lot of credit.
Because I would imagine that man-to-man marking, it's a bit like high pressing. That if it goes wrong, it probably looks a bit of a mess, and it didn't really. But there every once in a while, you'd watch part of the game. It was a really clear moment for me when Harvey Elliott came on, and he went right back towards the edge of his own penalty area, and whoever, I can't remember which Atalanta player it was, but he literally just followed him.
Yeah.
And it looks really weird, but obviously it works perfectly over two legs.
One thing you need, Jay will tell you, when you're coaching, you need players to buy into it. Yeah. Mm. They've got to be happy with what you're doing as a coach. Because I tell you what, when you're playing man-marker like they do, you've got to put in an awful lot of energy.
As well, yeah.
You know, the work effort you put into it is absolutely incredible. But you've got to be willing to do that. And that's what I said about Edison. Edison was all over the park. I mean, he was incredible to watch. You know, his positional playing, he's chasing back, he's harrowing, putting people under pressure. They worked extremely well. And everyone, so there was no one player that said, no, not for me tonight, I'm not going to get involved with that running around. Every player from Scamacca, the striker, right back to the centre-backs, everyone knew their job. There was no grey area. They struggled a little bit in the first half just because of the way Liverpool was rotating around. But once they got to grips with that in the second half, they were a much better outfit. And they coped with what Liverpool have got. But allied to that was the fact that Liverpool got tired. There's no doubt in my mind watching them. They're a little bit jaded in that second half because the passing was a little bit slower. Getting on to the balls was a bit slower. And maybe that was, you know, also a mental thing with them because they're two goals behind. They're thinking, can't really see us getting back into this, and we've got another big game coming up the weekend, and another big game coming up, and another big game coming up. So I'm not saying that they didn't try, I'm not saying that for one second, but I just think that the energy levels really dropped from first half to second half.
Hello there, just a quick break in today's show to remind you that there are two series of We Are Liverpool available to listen to wherever you get your podcasts. It's where you'll hear from current and former players about their lives off the pitch and career on it. We've got Andy Robertson's car sharing stories with his brother, Lucas Leiva's humbling phone call to Jurgen Klopp after he left the club, how Curtis Jones celebrated that goal against Everton in the FA Cup, why Dirk Kuyt played a key role in Luis Suarez signing from Ajax, and lots more fascinating insights and stories ready for you to hear. Every episode of We Are Liverpool is available now. Make sure you give us a follow so you don't miss any future shows. Right, let's get back to today's show. Welcome back. Let's get the thoughts of the Liverpool manager, Jürgen Klopp, who's been speaking in his post-match press conference.
I love the way we started the game. So, okay, I said that now a couple of times. I had already a few interviews. We didn't lose, and you know it anyway, we didn't lose the game tonight or the tie tonight. We lost it at home. And that's why we have to, and it's very easy to congratulate Atalanta Bergamo because they deserve to go through. When you win a tie against us 3-1 in this, especially this way, you deserve to go through, absolutely. But I loved our game anyway, especially the start. We were flying into this game, and I loved the commitment, the desire, the power we developed in this game. But it was clear we better score from time to time to interrupt these kind of things. Otherwise, it could be a bit tricky to keep that over 90 minutes. But how it always is, a second goal would have helped probably a little bit if that would have been a decisive thing, because you saw Atalanta started very strong, confident, but with the few situations we had, I think we gave them some concerns, let me say it like that. They realized then as well it will not be easy, and that's the game we gave them. So I'm really fine with that. Disappointed that we didn't go through, but sorry, but not frustrated or angry or something like that. Now we can focus on league, and that's what we will do. We have a few days to recover. We'll do that and travel day after tomorrow to London, and we'll play Fulham, which will be tricky, but we will give our absolute all. That's our competition now. I saw a good reaction from my side. We had not a great week last week, obviously. This, if we want, was a start for the rest of the season with a good result and a good performance, and that's how we see it.
Next one. The front.
The English is fine. Thank you.
Giorgio Duzzi from Bergamo News. I think that between the first half and the second half, there was a much difference in the Atalanta interpretation of the game. I ask you if you agree with me, and what has made the game most difficult in the second half for Liverpool. Thank you.
The biggest problem for us in the second half was that we couldn't keep that tempo. And for us, you saw tonight, Trent Alexander-Arnold, which player we didn't have for a while now, and as long as he was fresh, he, together with Maka, he set the tempo, the rhythm, the direction of the game. And then obviously he was a bit running out of gas, and Maka had to go through this game, which is crazy, and the way he did it is absolutely insane. But that was the difference. I really think if he could have kept this kind of tempo, we can do that usually. Tonight it was not that easy. If we could have kept a high rhythm a bit longer, I think whatever Atlanta changed in the second half, that's now not. In the first half they pressed really high. What they did in the end again, in the middle of the game, maybe not as much. So that's how it is. But that was not a difference. I think tonight we were, when we were really in the game, we were difficult to play. In other moments we were more easy to defend, and that's it. We didn't have enough chances for the. How is that? We had to create a little bit more than we did in the first half already, because it's always clear the result. You need a result to help to destabilize the opponent a little bit. If you have a second goal, that's a tricky one. Then each ball can. The next goal is extra time. But we didn't get to that point, so we'll never really know. How that would have looked, but again, how I said, Atlanta deserves to go through, so I'm fine with that. I don't want to go through if you don't deserve it, and so it's all good.
Do here and then right at the back.
Hi, Jürgen. Are you particularly concerned about Mo Salah's form of late, or is he just feeling the effects of a long season with AFCON as well?
I'm not particularly concerned. That's what strikers do. That's what happens to strikers. That's how it is. We have to go through this. He has to go through that. He's the most experienced, one of the most experienced players we have in the squad. We will go through that, but that's pretty much all. It's not that Mo didn't miss chances before in his life. That's part of the game. Now, the penalty was super convincing. It was a super penalty, and then the next chance, obviously, that was unlucky, but it's not the first time that he missed a chance like that. I don't make a bigger story of it. What you make of it, I have no influence, obviously. No, but I'm not particularly concerned.
It was interesting when he was talking there about the tempo, Ray, that he sort of very much went along with your theory that the tank was empty in the second half.
Yeah, you know, some players coming back who haven't been playing a lot of football recently, and you know, it's completely different training, and you can run around 100 miles and you feel great. You go onto the pitch, it's a different tempo completely, and you just can't keep it up at the level that you might have done on the training ground, and that looked the way for the Liverpool players. Now, it wasn't for the fact they weren't trying; they were, you know, but they were maybe just trying to do the wrong things. I thought just too many players were playing too many touches, taking too many touches, not laying it off quickly enough, not a little give and goes. When they done that, they were really hard to play against, and the Atalanta players were struggling to keep pace with them. But when you're taking too many touches, you can keep tight, because you're not going to go anywhere with it, and then you can force it by going in and winning the challenges, and that's what they done really well. That's why they competed much better in the second half. They won their challenges a lot more in the second half than they did in the first, and that's because Liverpool players were taking too many touches when they're in possession of the ball. In the first half, when they laid it off, they were getting in behind and creating opportunities that way.
He was asked about whether he was concerned by Mo Salah's form. Are you concerned?
No, I'm not concerned. I think Mo Salah speaks for himself when he's played for Liverpool. You know, the figures he's turned out year on year, over 20 goals a season. He's been one of our most prolific goal scorers in a very long time. And, you know, like he said, every single striker has good moments, has bad moments. You know, he's been out for a while. He's had the AFCON. He's been injured. He's finding his way, but he still comes up with goals and assists. He's still a danger. Yeah, OK, listen, if you want to be extra critical of him, then, you know, he could probably score two maybe tonight, definitely. You know, the second one, the huge moment we spoke about before, you know, you'd probably put a lot more on him to go and score that and then maybe then miss it. But, you know, he's a human being at the end of the day. He has moments in his career where he's going to have ups and downs. And now I'm not concerned whatsoever. He's still got a huge impact to make for our season, individual as in a collective.
I've got a funny feeling he's going to have a huge part to play in the next six games.
You wouldn't rule him out, would
no,
you?
No, listen, if you've got one chance in a game, who do you want it to fall to? Yeah. I'd put my money on Mo Salah more often than not. That's what I look at.
Yeah.
Who do you want in that position at that particular moment? I want Mo Salah. And I think, you know, he might not be at his very best in the last few matches. He's maybe trying to get up to speed fitness-wise. But there's still a lot of games for him to come out and make a major impact in the matches that are remaining for Liverpool. And he's done it time and time again, and there's no reason why he can't do it now.
It is easily forgotten that they did win the game, they did keep a clean sheet, and in other worlds or parallel universe where that first leg was the away game, you'd be quite happy to go back to Anfield 1-0. So, having said that, it must be so difficult to take any positives from a tie where you have gone out.
Yeah, it will be difficult, but then now that they are out of the competition, they have to, you know, as quick as they will be, there will be a debrief. You know, the manager and the staff will all look through it and see what they could have done better, you know, and what they can go on and can improve on for the next games going forward. But as a player, you know, Ray knows just as much as anybody that the next game is the most important now. You know, you want to go as far as you can in every competition, but you have to now switch straight away onto Fulham. So looking at the clean sheet, yeah, that is a massive thing because we've conceded first in probably the last 9 to 10 games, which is a real difficult thing for us to do and gives us a mountain to climb in every single game. So we've got 6 huge cup finals between now and the end of the year. Sunday's our first one. We have to concentrate on everything on that, but try and take any positives that we can. You know, the first half, I felt we played really well. You know, we did some really good stuff after the first goal. We did try and chase the second straight away. You know, some of the passes were, you know, we're trying to keep killer passes all the time. We were a little bit sloppy and a little bit rushed. You know, the players all trying to chase it a little bit. But no, come on, there is a lot of positive to take. Still a lot to play for. Everybody's come out the game fit, I hope. But yeah, a really important game on Sunday that we now need to kick on and get ready for.
And that is the point, isn't it? That you just cannot sit and feel sorry for yourselves. There's a Premier League title to be won. And I think Liverpool probably used up their wiggle room last weekend by losing to Palace. That I think most people are of the consensus that, for a starter, they've got to win all 6 before hoping for favours from elsewhere.
How do you think Arsenal are feeling at the moment? How do you think Man City are feeling? They've just lost in the Champions League last night. They're out. They'll be in a similar position to Liverpool. They're out of a European competition. All of their thoughts now have to go into what's left. And for Arsenal, it's the league. Like Liverpool, Man City have got other things as well on their plate. But they're trying to retain the Premier League. So their focus has to be on their next game. That's all you can think about. That's gone now. That's in the past. You've now got to look to the future. Future is Sunday. The players have got to not feel sorry for themselves, come together as one and say, right, last 6 games, lads, we're going to go out there. We're going to give it everything in them last 6 matches. We've got 3 away games in a row. Really tough games. Come through them 3 away games, you pick up 9 points. All of a sudden, things are far better. Everyone's looking forward to the remaining fixtures. Pressure's on the other teams. So it's not just Liverpool will be feeling a little bit sorry for themselves. Arsenal will. Man City will after last night.
What was your process then when you lost a really important game? Did you think, I'll give myself 12 hours or I'll go out and have a drink and then next morning we reset and we put it out of our mind?
As soon as you lost, that was it. You're ready. Focus for the next game. That's it. That's all. The mentality now, you might not be in this position again as a team. You just don't know how it's going to pan out. You've just got to be ready for the next fixture, the next game that you're going to be playing. And I tell you what, there's some nice matches there. You know, playing against Fulham, they'll be open. That'll be a game that you can go and win. There's no doubt there. Form's improved of late. Everton game takes care of itself. No problem there. And West Ham, you know, there'll be another tough game. West Ham under David Moyes, they've had some good results recently, some inconsistent results, but they've been knocked out tonight as well. So how are they feeling going into the next set of fixtures they've got as well? So there's so much to play for, so many points available and for all three teams that are going for the title, there's still going to be twists and turns along the way. But all you can focus on is one game at a time. That's the old adage. And then for Liverpool, it is Fulham on Sunday.
And that is the interesting thing about Ray saying there are twists and turns. And it wasn't probably too long ago where people were talking, which I thought was quite ludicrous at the time, about all three would possibly win all eight of their games, which I don't think is ever going to happen. And I think that City mainly, but also Liverpool for a three or four season stretch, changed the way we think about football in this sort of you can't possibly ever lose a game. And I think we're maybe, it's still very, very high standards, but a fraction more towards what it used to be, where in a 3 point for a win season, you know, late 80s would be fine. Whereas, you know, there was a while where Liverpool and City were making it, mid 90s wasn't enough to win the league.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, a week in football is one hell of a long time. You know, so much can change in that process, which we just found out, you know, from Thursday to Thursday, we've now been knocked out of the Europa League when we lost the Premier League game, but then now we've got six cup finals left. So now and next Sunday, you know, you've got three games in literally 8 days or 7 days, whatever it is. And that can be, so much can change within that time. Same with Manchester City, same with Arsenal. You know, you don't know what's coming. Someone may pick up an injury, you know, you might win one game, you might win three games, you might win two. You know, there's going to be so much twists and turns between now and the end of the year. Liverpool and City over the last couple of years have been incredible. You know, you've got to give them credit. They've been absolutely unbelievable. They've been relentless. You know, the scores and the stats and the points tallies that they've managed to do consistently over time or time. You know, there's always going to come a point where they were going to have to fall away from that. And, you know, both teams have kind of like, not fell, but, you know, the standards have dropped a little tiny bit. They've lost a couple more games and whatever over this period, what they have done before. And, you know, there's still going to be loads between now and then. And, you know, it's exciting as much as it is anything else.
I also think that, Ray, and whether you would agree or disagree, but, you know, you look at those fixtures, and even maybe from two or three seasons ago, there are more good teams. You know, Newcastle are way better than they were three or four seasons ago. Villa are way better than they were three or four seasons ago. Brighton are better than they were. That, you know, you look across all those games, and there is still a chance that at least one of those teams might win all six, but there's not many I look at there and think, well, they'll stroll through that and win 5-0.
Well, there's one team that all three have got to play is Tottenham Hotspur. And you never know with Tottenham. Under Ange, they've been very good at times this season. They've played some really good football. So they could be the one. They could be the one side that a couple of teams slip up against. Mm. You know, that's the potential that's there. But I'll come back to you, Rob. You can only take one game. Don't get, we might win three, they might win two. You can't think like that. You can't think like that in football, honestly, because who would have thought Liverpool were lost to Crystal Palace at the weekend, having 70% possession and the number of shots they had at goal and the chances that they had and they missed? You know, if someone had told you, they'd probably, no, that wouldn't happen. But it did. But it's how you respond. So they responded tonight with the victory. All right, didn't go through. And things have changed over the last few weeks. We've gone from a club that was going for four trophies. You know, we won the first one in the League Cup, still had three to play for, and everyone was going, how many more can we win? Then we lose to Manchester United in the FA Cup. We've lost to Atalanta over two legs. We're now currently in third in the league, a couple of points behind Manchester. How do we now broach that, you know, next few games? How are we going to get the winning mentality, that winning feeling? Well, we start tonight, we're a win. We mustn't forget that. We've still got a win tonight. It's a clean sheet. We have to take that into Sunday's game. Keep that belief that we're more than good enough. We've got the squad to do it. But the team have to pull it together. The whole squad has to come as one and say, right, lads, we're all in this together. Let's go out on a high. Let's finish this off as strongly as we can. Let's prove a few of the doubters and now be questioned. Like Arsenal getting questions asked of them. Are they like last season, where it comes down to the wire and when you're really tested that you don't see it through? And the same will be asked of Liverpool. So the players have got to be ready for that. And every game is going to be huge between now and the end of the season.
And I think that, again, that goes back to what we're saying about the sort of recalibration of how people view teams and people asking questions about Arsenal. It's losing one game. You know, that spell that City and Liverpool had, they almost made it unacceptable for a team to ever lose again. It's just not like that, is it? That, you know, teams that played and won titles, Man United team that won the treble in 99, I think won it with 70 odd points that season, that teams lose games. They were freakish that period that City and Liverpool had?
Yeah, they were. They were incredible. And, you know, the figures and the games and the amount of games in a season that they all played, you know, probably in their moments as well, City and Liverpool reached most finals as well. So, you know, they're racking out maybe 60 to nearly 70 games a season consistently, you know, not losing many at all. But, you know, football, you're always going to lose. You're always going to win. But you have to always concentrate just on, you know, you can't look too far ahead. Oh, I want to do this. We want to do that. You know, Ray's exactly right. The team have to come together. You have to concentrate on the next game. You've probably, after a game, you've probably got half an hour to really reflect on the game that just happened before. You know, you're already leaving the stadium looking forward to what's coming next. You know, the stats, the opta, the physios, everybody's straight away now right the way through to Fulham. Like, no one's going to talk about it at Atalanta. They're going to go straight through to the next one, and that's all that matters in that changing room now.
And it's not even the manager at times or the coaching staff that need to have a chat with the players. The players can do it on their own.
Yeah.
You know, on their way back tonight, I'm taking the travelling home tonight after the game, they can get together now and say, right, lads, come on. There's going to be question marks about us. We've got to be ready for it. You know, outside of Liverpool, you know, outside the Liverpool fans, there'll be others saying, oh, what are you going to do about it now? How are you going to respond on Sunday against Fulham? You lost to Palace. You know, you're out of that competition now, so what's next for you? And the Liverpool players have got to say, you know what, we're ready for it. We're ready for all these massive games that we've got coming up.
And actually, the point of they did win the game tonight and they kept a clean sheet. Well, actually, I guess the message is, if you do that three times in your next three away games over the next week, happy days.
You don't know, you know, you're back to keeping clean sheets. Ali mentioned it before, to say, you know, first and foremost, we have to keep clean sheets and we give the opportunities for our forward players to go and score goals. Likewise, if you go and score goals, you know, you've got to, vice versa, you have to work all as one as a collective. And if you want results, you have to work with the subs, you know, the collection, the whole squad, the people that have been not involved tonight as well. You know, everybody's got to be fighting on the forefront. And Ray's right, everyone's going to doubt them. But it's only Liverpool players, members of staff that are in that first team arena, you know, the under-23s, you know, a couple of players that are around it, Dan's and whatever. We're all in this together. It's just all us. Everyone's going to be fighting against us. Everyone's going to want us to fail. Everyone's going to want to see us go down. But, you know, it's all us in one go, ready to rock and roll between now and the end.
In the next few games, discipline defensively. Don't give up any opportunities. Don't give away the first goal. And if Liverpool do that, they'll win games. Because, I mean, before tonight, against Atalanta and against Crystal Palace, they had 70% possession in both of them games. I think it won, certainly in the first half, it was 70%. I don't know where it panned out in the, over the course of the 90 minutes.
I think it was 69 well, within the final second
well,
okay, of the game.
Oh, well, OK, 1% over.
Just to be, you know,
but, do you know what I'm saying? So if you're having a 70% possession of the ball and you're having lots of chances and, you know, goal-scoring opportunities, when you factor that all into your stats that everyone loves these days, you should be winning. You should be winning them games. You shouldn't be conceding too many. So that's what we've got to look at, making sure professional performance defensively, don't give up any real chances, and then you've got something to build from. And with the players that Liverpool have got, they'll score goals. We know that. There's very few games, I think three games this season, where we haven't scored. So we know there's plenty of potential in that squad to score goals. Keep a clean sheet, keep it nice and tight, and at the other end of the field, start scoring goals, start winning games, and you'll see that confidence will come back really quickly. You can turn like that, Rob. As easy as that, you can turn it around. And you start believing, you think, oh, you know, we're back to that winning feeling, that winning mentality. There's a bit of arrogance in a good way going around the pitch. Hey, we can do this. And one thing that Liverpool have had this season is people coming off the bench and having a real impact in games. And we need to continue with that, because it's not just the 11 that's going to win you in the next six matches. It's going to be your squad that's going to win it for you. And your manager's the leader of that. But sometimes it's the players have to come together and they've got to be the ones that take the lead in situations. And hopefully they do that tonight. Everyone sits down and, right, for the next six matches, 100% focus on what we're doing. Minimise mistakes at one end of the pitch when we're defending. Don't give up chances. The other end, let's start finishing off these chances that we're creating, because we're creating plenty of them and we're creating really good chances. It's all about finishing it off now.
All right, let's get a little bit more reaction from Bergamo. Trent Alexander-Arnold is with Pete.
Trent, how do you sum it up tonight?
Disappointing, obviously. I think we wanted to, obviously, to go through. Came here with the objective to win the game, which is what we've been able to do, but it wasn't enough at the end of the day. We set ourselves a very tough task last week, uphill battle, and it was too hard for us to turn it around. But got the win, clean sheet as well, so there's positives to take, but we know over the two legs we didn't deserve to go through.
You got the start that you wanted, didn't you? A good early start with the goal through Mo.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you up against it, you want to get your early goal and set the tone of the game. We've done that. I think first half we were really good, boxed them in, kept them in their half, and tried to keep as much pressure on them as possible. But no, they withstood the pressure that we put on them. Second half, we couldn't find our rhythm again. Didn't create too much, and then kind of went for it, and just wasn't enough in the end.
How did it feel in terms of the dressing room? Two big moments potentially that they could have been reduced to 10 men. Mo goes through as well on goal and misses that opportunity.
Yeah, it's decisions at the end of the day, innit? Obviously, I think Mo will be disappointed not to be able to tuck his chance away. But, yeah, I think there was a potential red card in there that would have obviously changed the game. No, we can't focus on that. I think our focus now, after the game, we spoke quite positively about the rest of the season. Now we've got about a month left. We need to give it everything. That's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to throw everything at it. Try and do what we can. Obviously, we know it's not in our hands anymore. We need to be as good as possible and just be in the best position as we can to capitalise if teams do slip up.
Yeah, because almost overnight the season now reduces to six massive games. You're still in this title charge.
Yeah, I mean that's the positive, is that, you know, on nights like this when they are disappointing, you can still look ahead, because in 3 days' time we've got a huge game that we need to go and win. We're looking at a very, very difficult week ahead of us. Three away games, three games that we need to win and get results in, and that's our aim and objective. But that's why on nights like this you need to learn from it quick, settle the dust as quick as possible tonight, get back home and recover and go again on Sunday.
We spoke the other day, you were looking forward to this one tonight. First half you were very strong, great to be back out there again, and you're ready to contribute again.
Yeah, I think I just ran out of juice in the second half, but no, first half I was enjoying football. I was, you know, finding the passes. I was playing a game that I loved, and I think you can tell by the way I played. It was special for me to be back out there and help the team win the game. But you know, as good as it was personally for me to be back out there and starting it, the overriding feeling is disappointment not to be able to carry on this competition. Thank you.
So Liverpool out of the Europa League, and amazingly, five Premier League teams started the week in European competition. Just one remain, Aston Villa still in the Conference League. City and Arsenal gone in the Champions League. West Ham gone with Liverpool tonight. It's amazing when you look at that list of semi-finals, Jay, there is just one Premier League club left standing.
Yeah, it's a real surprise, you know, over the last couple of years. There's been English teams all around at Liverpool, Manchester City. You know, Arsenal have tried to get themselves in there as well, Villa have as well. But no, listen, it's getting difficult more year on year. It's getting more and more difficult. The teams, you know, the foreign teams are getting stronger and stronger, coming up against English teams and causing us problems. And, you know, yeah, listen, it's a one-off. I can't see it being a consistent thing. I can see English teams, you know, coming back and dominating Europe again soon.
A lot of close matches, though, wasn't there?
There was, yeah.
You know,
three penalty shootouts.
Arsenal had a real chance against Bayern Munich. Bayern Munich weren't very good, to be honest. And I thought they were a little bit fortunate to go through.
City with the penalty.
Man City could easily have won against Real Madrid. We had two classic games, didn't we, between them two. So a lot of the games were very, very close. I wouldn't look at it too negatively about the Premier League. I think, you know, when you look at the sides that are there, a lot of them are still fighting, like the likes of Liverpool, Arsenal and Manchester City fighting for the title. So there's so much about it. And I thought, just listening to Trent there, he summed it up. You know, there was a win tonight, but the focus now is on the upcoming. This next week is absolutely massive. Three huge games away from home, and you win all three. I'll tell you what, everyone's, you know, chat about Liverpool changes dramatically and what they might achieve at come the end of the season.
Just quickly then, tell me about the Ray Houghton derby and what to expect, because Fulham, usually you have no idea what to expect because they're up and down all over the place.
We've had some really good games. They've proved worthy opponents against Liverpool this season, going back to the semi-final, the two-legged affair, which was really tight in both games that they played. So I'm sure they're looking forward. Their form's just started to improve. There's no pressure on them. They're not going to go down. All the pressure's on Liverpool. But you know what? As a player, I quite like that, you know, because the emphasis is on you. It's up to you to go out there and perform. They can go out and play the way they want, but if we play our game, we play to our potential, we should win. And that's what the Liverpool players should be thinking tonight.
That's it for this latest episode of The Reaction. We're back with more analysis and interviews from Craven Cottage on Sunday after Liverpool take on Fulham in the Premier League. Until then, if you haven't already, give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts. Don't miss an episode when they drop.